Hello, welcome to Our Stories Podcast, a production of the Winship Hematology and Medical Oncology Wellness Program. My name is Dr. Wendy Baer. I'm a psychiatrist at the Winship Cancer Institute. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with one of our fellows in the oncology program, Dr. Colin Vail. Colin, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me today.
We're going to talk through some of your story, what brought you to Atlanta, to Winship, and to oncology. Maybe you could start off by just telling me a little bit about why you decided to become a physician all those years ago.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I was always captivated by my science classes. And when I was in high school, I started to think a little more seriously about different career paths. So this was during the heyday of CSI, crime scene investigation.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you may recall. So I first shadowed a forensic scientist.
Oh.
And I don't want to offend any forensic scientists listening out there, but it was not the most riveting day. We actually did not go to any crime scenes. So I think that the show had created some unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
And then I then shadowed my uncle, who's a veterinarian, and I enjoyed caring for the animals, but I really sought a more human connection, which led me to shadowing a family friend who's an orthopedic surgeon. So I was really inspired by his medical knowledge and how much his patients trusted him. So that was, I would have to say, high school was when I was first recognized that medicine is a potential career for me. And I think that was important because I actually applied to a number of dual admission programs in high school. So I went to St. Louis University for a dual admission program for undergraduate and medical school.
Oh, okay. So St. Louis, and then you found your way to Atlanta. What made you decide to go into oncology after having that experience with the orthopedic surgeon?
Yeah, so from medical school, I went to Rhode Island. I was at Brown for my internal medicine residency. And pretty early on in my residency training, I had significant hematology and oncology exposures. In both the inpatient and outpatient settings. And I really valued those, that time with both the patients and learning from several mentors. It seemed like every day there was a new advancement in cancer care. I was able to sit down in some truly special family meetings discussing goals of care. And I was able to see that the hematologists and oncologists were incorporating palliative care each day. So there were a number of aspects which drew me into the field.
Yeah. So you've brought up so many things that I think about a lot in doing mental health care and thinking about the psychological experience that people have when they go through medical diagnoses or through a cancer experience. You know, most importantly, this idea that you would trust. You know, talked about watching the patients trust their orthopedic surgeon, or having family meetings and incorporating not just the patient but the families into the care plans. It's pretty cool that you were able to observe that and see that firsthand as something that's so important to people. So you've been all over the country and then landed here in Atlanta. You've had little cultural experiences in the Midwest and in New England. What have you found appealing or maybe a little more challenging about being in the Southeast and in the city of Atlanta?
So from a food scene perspective, I'm definitely missing the fresh seafood. But there wasn't much barbecue in the Northeast. So I found that I've frequented several of the barbecue establishments here. So that's been nice. But I think people have different perspectives throughout the country. I think medical training is somewhat unique in that you can set aside somewhat time-limited course. For me, it was 4 years in the Northeast, and I felt like that was enough of an exposure to see another area of the country. So I've been fortunate to train in different areas of the country, and I've really enjoyed my time in Atlanta thus far. I found that people, not only at Emory, but kind of throughout the city, were incredibly welcoming. And then it is also quite warm in Rhode Island, so the heat hasn't really bothered me too much.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad it's not bothering you right now, because it is really hot outside, and especially for our patients that I try to encourage to exercise or take walks, the majority of the day is pretty stifling hot right now. So I'm getting a lot of pushback about the walks in the heat. You know, when you said that about food, it makes me think about how before the pandemic shut down restaurants or create a need for physical distancing, that we would get together with friends and family so often around food and seafood in New England. And obviously it makes me think of mussels. I think I've had Rhode Island mussels and oysters or something.
Yes.
But then the barbecue is pretty famous in the Southeast, and I'm from North Carolina, so we have a big reputation for barbecue. But we would get together with families and friends and celebrate all different kinds of things around food. What if you think about, you know, in terms of things that bring you joy, is celebrating around food with family and friends something that brings you joy, or do you have other things you do day to day to keep your spirits up, especially now when opportunities for going out to restaurants are different than they were several months ago?
Yeah, so I think life has changed pretty dramatically, but I'm still able to find joy both at work and at home. And I think kind of the easiest answer is I have a 7-month-old son. So enjoying time with my wife and with him, hearing him laugh and crawl around, it's pretty easy to stay upbeat when I'm around him. But also still trying to focus on exercise is something I try to incorporate every day if possible. And then I listen to a number of audiobooks. I have an Audible account. So I try to listen to a non-medical book each month.
Yeah. So you kind of give yourself a break and keep your interests varied, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah. And then your son must be getting closer to the time where you could read children's books too. You're going to have to start incorporating some board books and children's stories into your routine, perhaps.
Yes, he is now picked up on turning the pages.
Maybe before
we're making
even
progress.
Finish.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe before you even finish. Yeah, it seems to me that the young people in our lives can be quite the source of inspiration, you know, in terms of being our best selves, but also bring joy. The laughter that comes from little kids can be pretty uplifting. Absolutely. So I hear you on the exercise front, and obviously the wellness efforts during a pandemic are things that sometimes can slip by the wayside a little bit when you get going on Netflix from home or, you know, think that it's time to let go of the diet. But it sounds like you've been able to attend to your exercise, and that's been something that's kept you feeling well along the way.
Yes, I've had to change some of my habits. I initially was playing a lot of basketball, especially with some of the neurology residents. And it's pretty difficult to maintain social distancing when you're playing basketball. So I had to scrap that. But speaking about restaurants we were discussing earlier, I think when I first moved to Atlanta, met with a number of the fellows on multiple occasions to welcome me to Atlanta, and that typically occurred at restaurants. So I felt like I was able to start to build relationships with my co-fellows, with faculty pretty early on in my time in Atlanta. And that's one thing that I worry about. It can certainly be isolating, I'm sure, for people who are just moving to Atlanta right now when they don't have the opportunity to connect as easily outside of work.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask a couple of questions around being in training during the pandemic and how unique that is for our students who are coming in whether it be college or medical school or residency or fellowship, when they're coming into a new program or a new city and they haven't yet had the face-to-face interactions with the department or the group gatherings where the same year trainees get to know each other a little better. And I think that's going to be one of the unique things through the pandemic is this experience of trying to build team cohesion, even when we have to do the physical distancing. Have you seen anything so far in the last couple of weeks that seems promising that's been happening on a trainee level to get people connected?
Yeah, so I think our fellowship program has been incredibly supportive and has tried to be as innovative as possible. I think there's only so much cohesion that you can build over Zoom meetings.
It's hard.
It is. And I think we're still working to identify the best strategies to enable the new fellows to be to feel truly part of the fellowship community. But I think as a trainee, I think we're used to being relatively flexible because our schedules vary from month to month. So you might be solely outpatient 1 month to working on the transplant service, to the leukemia service, to the hematology service. So our experiences are naturally varied. So I think we are more readily able to adapt to changes in schedule.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that sometimes, especially when people have been in school for a super long time and you have knowledge and skills, they're pretty sophisticated, especially, you know, with regards to medicine and cancer, is that you may not pay attention to the skills that you have in terms of being flexible, in terms of being adaptable. You know, like if you used to play basketball and then you have to switch to hiking or walking or Pilates on Zoom, you know, to be able to switch gears like that is a skill set. And it leaves you feeling better if you can make the change and not just get stuck, you know, thinking that basketball was the only way you were ever going to get any exercise. And then the same thing goes for switching rotations. Like we do learn early on in medical school that you have to be able to adapt to a new attending, a new nursing group, a new location. I mean, you have to find the bathroom, you have to find the soda machine or the coffee machine. So it's a skill set, and maybe we don't give ourselves credit for being good at that. And probably these trainees that are coming in new this year will be some of the most adaptable people, having found their way into departments and into teams during a pandemic. Maybe.
Yeah, I think every aspect of their journey has differed from mine. I think from the interview process to the moving and graduation, they've had to encounter a completely different set of challenges. And I think it's incredible that they've been able to overcome all these challenges. And from what I've heard, they're doing a tremendous job already.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that most of us will recognize, you know, that the people who have started this year have started under unique circumstances. And hopefully many people will have the same kind of generous and compassionate mindset that you seem to have about their experience and how different it is. I think sometimes we forget that the pandemic is not going to last forever. I mean, it's going to be a really long time, but there will be a day where we are able to maybe do things differently than we are right in the midst of the crisis. As you think about your work in cancer and taking care of people and families who deal with cancer, is there anything that you think is unique to that medical diagnosis and that treatment path? Like anything that you think is worthy of all of us remembering as we think about people who are going through their cancer care?
Yeah, so I think for me, it really is invigorating applying what I learn, you know, during lecture on rounds one day to patient care, sometimes the following day. And I've seen a number of model clinicians throughout my fellowship, people who really embrace humility, they're excellent learners, and that they truly value each individual's personhood as opposed to kind of treating a disease.
It makes me think of sometimes in the hospital, especially for our folks who are in the hospital for weeks of chemotherapy or through transplant for blood cancers, when you see their pictures on the wall and you're reminded of their personhood and and what they like to do or what they care about. And that really, I think, like you said, can be motivating because you want to manage their cancer situation so they can get back to being that person. I also am struck that you just said again how important it's been to have those role models, that the physicians that you're learning from are humble, that they really care about doing the best they can by the patients they're taking care of, and that that's been true since you were in high school. You're looking for the people among you that can inspire you and encourage you to be your best self. So that's pretty cool. You've been looking for that all throughout your training.
Yes, and I think during fellowship, we are exposed to experts in a number of different areas. So for instance, I might be in a breast oncology clinic one morning, and then I am in a lung and head and neck cancer clinic the following afternoon. So you definitely have different not only patient perspectives, but also the providers. It's incredible to learn from such a variety of experts.
Well, I kind of like hearing you talk about that because I'm proud to be at Emory and at Winship and to know that people that are coming through the system for learning purposes are also having that kind of feeling. Makes me feel good. Yeah, we all want to be part of a high quality operation. Okay. Well, I have really enjoyed talking to you. I mean, I'm sure that you have quite a lot to do to continue with your fellowship training and manage a little kid at home. It doesn't leave a lot of time for medical drama with CSI reruns and such, but but maybe with those audiobooks, you'll get a nice break from all that is really serious but incredibly important in taking care of people with cancer. Thanks so much for taking the time to be part of our podcast series today.
I really appreciate the opportunity, and I thank you for all that you do for our cancer patients.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Okay.